Don't change that dial. WGBB 1240 on your dial. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. Hi, Tony. I'm John Palmer.
Hi, I'm Anthony Chiffo.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Terrible.
We've seen a lot of each other lately.
You didn't listen to my answer. I said I was terrible. You didn't listen to me.
You always tell me that.
For those of you who are listening, we're not crazy. We're
just
a little off.
We're just two little kids in love with Jesus. We have Jesus in our hearts, and we want to spread that love throughout the Long Island, throughout Nassau County, throughout New York State, throughout the world if we could. And we're so humble. We only seek one conversion a week. That's all we seek. And there it is. And we're hoping to get that one conversion a week.
Yes, and we're not totally, and the reason why I say crazy at the beginning, you know, there are a lot of people who listen. They're not crazy, but they have a lot of emotional concerns, a lot of worries, a lot of fears, a lot of doubt, a lot of anxiety. And today's show is going to deal with that. We have two representatives, people who are members of the Association of Christian Therapists, and they work with people in a very special way.
Isn't that wonderful? There is an Association of Christian Therapists.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
International group. And they Canada, United States, other parts of the world. And they really, really focus on bringing Jesus, God, into whatever they do. And they're not just therapists. They are doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs. But meanwhile, before we go any further, Al Barbarino, terribly sorry talking over you.
We did it again, Al, baby. We did
sorry,
it again.
Al. You know, what are you going to do? We're never going to learn. And poor Trevor sitting in that control room. Look at him. He's shaking his head. Those guys never learn. They just talk over music.
And by the way, Trevor's was written up again. Another week written up in another paper. He's becoming a celebrity.
Were you arrested, Trevor? You were arrested again?
Arrested by Jesus.
Out of the way.
He was arrested by Jesus.
Out of the way, Travis.
And we have fun here. And we just want our guests to relax. Because this is really a conversation led by the Holy Spirit. And we have Jim DeMar and Carol Robano with us. And Carol, why don't you just tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do. Now, don't move the mic. We got it.
Okay.
Just move up.
Am I? That's a hard question. But I'm a social worker. I've been practicing for over 20 years, and I'm director of a center called Living Water Center. Living Water Center is a healing place. It's for people with all kinds of emotional problems, sometimes physical problems, or sometimes spiritual problems. It's located in a wonderful space in Melville on the campus of St. Elizabeth, an old convent that is soaked with prayer. And people that come there receive the healing power of the Lord because all the clinicians that work there are God's instruments.
And it's a very, very special place because you have adoration on Wednesdays.
We do, and all our clients have the ability to go down there anytime they want, including the clinicians. The clinicians are asked to go down and adore the Lord and clear themselves of themselves and all their professional knowledge and all that knowledge base that we have that's back there, but really being led by the Spirit. Clear me of me and fill me with faith.
Well, you know, it kind of fits my whole perspective. You people are social workers, and I'm a psychologist. And my whole way of thinking is, hey, you can go see a psychologist or a therapist 1 hour or maybe 2 hours a week, but who do you talk to the other 167 hours?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not talking to God, you're just going to talk in circles.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere.
Carol, before you go any further, I'm just curious, what type of clientele do you serve in this ministry?
Any human body.
any?
Absolutely.
I think that's terrific.
Yeah, absolutely. We do, children from the age of 5 up. We do couples, we do individuals, we do people with trauma, we do people who have just a need to understand their lives better.
So if there's a person out there that's in a depressed state, can they call you and can you administer them at all?
Absolutely, we do all the time.
So there's an avenue there. We have so many petitions from people that are depressed, that don't know where to turn to, don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is wonderful. There's an avenue for them to turn to. Is there a way they can get in touch with you?
Surely. They can call us at 631-754-3990. That's the phone number. Or they can go on to the email, which is liv.h20@verizon.net.
And they'll be greeted with someone to respond to them and confidentiality and all that?
Absolutely.
Stuff.
We're all certified professionals. So although they will be receiving the healing power of the Lord, and we do have people that do massage with prayer if they wanted to do some body work, and we have people that do spiritual direction, certified spiritual directors. What happens is the therapists there are either licensed marriage and family therapists or licensed clinical social workers.
That's wonderful, Carol. And Jesus is answering our prayers by sending you to us, because there are people in these petitions that are depressed, that have problems. They just don't know where to turn to. And they can't really afford a high price psychologist, psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Sorry, Dr. Palmer.
Take care.
Oh, by the way, medical covers that, right?
Medicare
and stuff like that?
We do take insurance, definitely take insurance, and we're not high priced, trust me.
That's wonderful. So,
you know,
we're not in it for the money. We're trying to earn a living. But as a matter of fact, my son says, and he's a business person, he says, Mom, you're running this as a not for loss.
My type of guy, your son.
I love your email. Live H2O,
yeah.
Living Waters, live, yes. H2O@verizon.net.
Thank you.
Live H2O. Listeners, get online and get in line. But well, you know, we have more than one person.
Yes, I know. I'm surrounded here.
Dr. Jim DeMar. Jim, why don't you tell us a little about you and what you do?
Like Carol, I'm also a licensed clinical social worker. I've been practicing about 25 years, and presently I'm ministering at the St. Joseph's Prayer Center, which is in Patchogue, New York. And at the prayer center, a little different from Carol's work, Carol has a combination of counseling and spiritual direction and things of that nature. The prayer center primarily focuses on prayer and spiritual direction. It's not really a place where you would refer someone for counseling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different in that respect. We do a lot of different kinds of prayer. The spiritual direction is there. I do a type of prayer called theophostic prayer, which is like an inner healing prayer.
I love that. Could you tell them a little bit more about that? Because we went through the same training through the association.
Yeah.
And through Father Bob McGuire. I don't know if you went through that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I work with Father Bob McGuire. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, theophostic prayer was developed by a gentleman, Dr. Ed Smith, in the late 90s. And it's not really new in the fact that the Holy Spirit has always been healing from the beginning of time. So. But what he's done, he's developed a systematic way of praying with people that enables them to, once they get in touch with some traumatic memories, it's a way of inviting the Holy Spirit into those memories and asking the Holy Spirit to give that person a perception of who they are through the Lord. Many times we find that people are in pain not because of the event that happened to them, but as a result of what they believe about themselves. Because of the event. Say, for example, a woman who was traumatized, was sexually abused, for example. The indication is that the sexual abuse itself, although that's traumatizing, the belief that the person has afterwards is where the pain resides. So when they go back to the memory and the Lord comes in and really gives them a totally different perception of who they are, they get healed. It's just miraculous. Yeah. It's just absolutely miraculous.
And it cuts down the time in therapy.
Yes, it does.
Theoretically.
Now, it doesn't mean that you wouldn't have the person who's in therapy remain in therapy. Obviously, they have other things to work through, but in this, when you're working with people with specific memories and traumas, it does work very quickly. Yes, it does. We also utilize it in our groups there. We run a few groups. My colleague, Julie Woodley, who wasn't able to be here today, she and I do a group together for men and women who have gone through various types of trauma, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, spiritual abuse. And in the process, we have a 10-week program that we offer folks as they go through the healing journey. And in each week, we give them an opportunity if they want to pray. And if they do, we'll utilize the theophostic prayer. And again, it really is very, very effective in getting at some of the painful memories that people have as they go through this. And it can be resolved pretty quickly, and it's pretty remarkable how the spirit works that way.
You know, Jim, I also have another theory. You know, besides the fact that we have a physical DNA and an emotional DNA, I believe we have a spiritual DNA. Mm-hmm. And unless therapists are careful about when they open the person's psyche and careful to bring God into it, they open a can of worms that they don't understand.
Yeah.
And I think it's really frightening for people not to be in therapy with someone who's not prayerful.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll get a lot of phone calls or letters about that, but I have people tell me, you're forcing God on your clients. And my answer to them is, by not bringing them up, you're forcing God not to be with the clients. So.
Well, that's one of the beautiful things about the Association of Christian Therapists. We're members of that association. That association is really dedicated to integrating the power of the Holy Spirit into all the healthcare professions. And it's, like you said, to not include that we would be remiss.
Reason why I'm going in that direction, I'm, you know how I am, and I'm so task-oriented.
Oh, absolutely.
But there's a song that was written by Tommy Thorell, and it just encapsulates what we're talking about. Jesus is with him through it all.
And that's our mission statement, John.
Through it all.
Our mission statement is that Jesus wants to be involved in every part of our lives. Not only just going to church, but he wants to be involved in our personal lives and our business lives.
And this is Lori Magano. Listen.
Every road I travel down,
all right.
Tommy Thorell, who wrote that song, was music minister at St. Bridget's in Woodbury, and he was dying of brain cancer. And that song just says so much. There are so many times, and maybe people can think about it as therapists and in their own lives, when did God step in and help you? I want to give you an example of a very dramatic thing that happened with one of my people that I work with, and he's given me permission to tell the story. It's a man who was depressed, 3 children at home, terrible time for a number of years, 7, 8, 9 years. And I had him come in, and he came in one Friday, and you know, hey doc, I was going to kill myself the other day. I couldn't do it anymore. I said, oh my God, what happened? He said, well, you taught me that when I really feel bad, go to the Blessed Sacrament in the Adoration Chapel. So I did, but I was really upset. And when I got there, I said to Jesus, you have to show me somebody worse off than me, or I'm out of here. And I said, yeah. And he said, and I prayed, and all of a sudden, I started thinking about Stephen McDonald. And he said, and I said to God, that's all right. I could have thought of Stephen all on my own. I didn't need you to give me that. I thought of that myself. You got to do better than that. And he stayed in prayer. And he had heard the door open to the chapel. And sounded like a wheelchair coming in. And he turned around. And Tony, you know who was there? Stephen McCullough.
Yeah.
And he said to me, was that God? And I said, well, who else? Who else? Of course, that's how God works. And later on, he went and told Stephen what happened. And Stephen, I met him at another time, and he said he needed that touch at that time as well. Wow. So, you know, and I think God is very economical. You got two birds with one stone.
Yeah. That's God for you.
What about you guys? Yeah. Do you have anything like that from your repertoire or even from your own life? When God stepped in and touched you. And Tony, yeah, I know there's been no problems in your life. You've never had any, right?
I've had many, many problems.
And God always never came near you, right?
My Jesus has never failed me.
That's right.
He's never, ever has he failed me. And I'm so proud to say that and so humbled to say that. You know, all my problems, all my sicknesses, all our illnesses, my wife and I, and we just put them into Jesus' hands. And he can't
you know what bothers me, though? He's a last-minute Larry. He comes in at the very last minute. When I'm really finished, I give up, he comes in.
Not with me, John.
He must be better than I am, then. I don't know.
I have John's experience, last-minute Larry.
You guys have anything you want to share?
Oh, I'd like to share about
move up to the mic.
When God touched my mother. My mother was had cancer, kidney cancer that metastasized to her leg, and she had a hole in her leg. She was on crutches. And we took her to many, many, many years ago to Father Diorio's healing mass.
Oh, he's going to be on Long Island this July. Go ahead. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting, it's filled with people. I'm sitting, my husband and I are sitting behind my mother. We're praying for healing. Only one of the reasons was my mother was raising my her granddaughter because the granddaughter's mother died. And so we prayed, and didn't seem like anything happened. So when we were leaving the auditorium, my mother said, you know, Father was calling me up to drop my crutches and walk up there, but I was too scared to do it. So isn't that amazing how God was working, and yet my mother's own fear stopped it. But my mother did live for 6 years instead of 6 months.
Wow.
So I'm very grateful to the Lord.
And we, that's a good point, by the way. Jesus and God just try to talk to us and try to come to us. We need to open our arms and accept them and say, welcome, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you have anything you want to add?
Well, actually, as Carol was speaking, I was reminded of my my good friend who passed away about 2.5 years ago. Was diagnosed with hepatitis C, and doctors told her she had like 6 months to live. And obviously, you know, that's kind of devastating news. But she continued to move and get prayed with, and she lived probably about 10 years since that time, and she passed away about 2.5 years ago. So God can extend and do whatever he needs to do. He's the one who's in charge, and not necessarily what other people say. Good medical people who are doing the best they can with what they have, but there's obviously a power greater than what they do.
And you know, this Sunday's gospel is on the raising of Lazarus. And the dead. And I go to a men's prayer group. I'm in church all the time. I think I should pay rent.
Maybe they should pay you.
but you know, they were talking about scripture, and this is about 17 or 18 men that get together. They've been doing it for years. And I had the sense that really Lazarus's story, Lazarus is us. We're the ones who are in the tomb. We're the ones who are dead in many ways in our life. And Jesus will come in and help us throw off that deadness. And when I think of Scripture, I've been taught, you read Scripture timelessly. Don't even think of it as being something that might have happened 2,000 years ago, like Aesop's fable. But there's something alive right now, today. And the story of Lazarus applies to my life and to everyone's life.
Absolutely. And we're trying to bring Scripture into the program, John. Yeah. I'm so happy you mentioned that.
Oh, really, I hate you.
Scripture is so, so wonderful to bring into our lives and to guide ourselves.
And the saints are as well.
And saints are as well. Yes, I know.
To the saints,
saints alive.
Alive. Go ahead.
And this week again, John, we have a twofer. We've been concentrating on the apostles during Lent and trying to study the apostles, and we're coming up with some good information here. This week we're going to study St. James the Less and St. Simon the Zealot. And hopefully we'll come with another observation. It seems that St. James the Less is the author of the first Catholic epistle, and he was called the Less by Mark in order to distinguish him from the other apostle James, brother of St. John. He was younger than than James, smaller, and less. And so you can mean, less can mean smaller or younger, whatever we determine. He's considered the head of the third group. It seems that the apostles were broken down into three triparts. And St. James the Less was in charge or the head of the third tripart. And he firmly fixed himself in the ninth place in all the four listings of the apostles. He was made the leader of the third group. The men of his last group had different characteristics than the others. We, myself included, have become accustomed to calling the apostles simply poor fishermen of Galilee. Actually, research has revealed that the group around Christ was comprised of not only many different temperaments and personalities, but also various professions. So he didn't just concentrate on fishermen, and that was my misbelief, that he concentrated on the fishing only. They came from different social circles. Most were poor. Some had resources, like Matthew. With the calling of the third group of apostles, farmers were given a voice in changing the whole world. He was not a rough fisherman, not a clever tax collector, not an educated scholar, only a farmer who was devoted to nature and its care and cultivation. St. James the Less was a late bloomer, so to speak, who began to shine after the others faded away beyond the horizon. In the Gospels, the first 10 years of the history of the apostles, almost nothing was heard of James. However, after the martyrdom of James the Elder in the year 42, he suddenly came into the light of history. Into the night, this miraculous escape, he escaped from prison. Peter went to James and sought his counsel. The special emphasis on James the Less already pointed to his prominent new posting in the church. Paul also named him as the pillar of the church. It is stated that he was the first bishop of Jerusalem, which is clearly evident throughout the Acts of the Apostles, and St. Paul mentions St. James as the only apostle present in Jerusalem, and certainly as the elder of the church in that city. The Less was thrown from the top of the temple in Jerusalem by the Pharisees, and then he was finally stoned to death. And so, like all the other apostles except John, he was martyred. And so now let's talk a little bit about Simon, the Zealot. He was an able man of good ancestry and lived with his family. And again, he was called by Jesus, and he left his family. He was 28 years old when he was called to serve. He was a fiery agitator and was also a man who spoke much without thinking. Reminds me of Peter a little bit.
That's me.
Reminds me a little bit of Peter.
He had been
a merchant before he turned his entire attention to the patriotic organization of Jesus. Simon was given charge of the divisions and relaxation of the apostle group and was a very efficient organizer and organized recreational activities. So they had. The apostles did have recreational activities. Simon's strength was his inspirational loyalty. When the apostles found a man or woman who floundered in decisions about entering the kingdom, they would send Simon. He usually required only about 15 minutes for his enthusiastic advocate of salvation through faith in God to sell all the doubts and remove all the indecisions like we all have. We can use him today, John, to see a new soul born into the liberty of faith and the joy of salvation. Simon's great weakness was his material-mindedness, like we all are. He could not quickly change himself to a Jewish nationalist, to a spiritually-minded internationalist. 4 years was too short of a time for which to make such an intellectual and emotional transformation. But Jesus was always patient with him, like he is with us. The one thing about Jesus which Simon so much admired was the master's calmness, his assurances.
Just like you.
Poise. Yeah, just like me. And his composure. And isn't that Jesus we know today? Although Simon was a revolutionist, a fearless firebrand of agitation, he gradually subdued his fiery nature until he became a powerful and effective preacher of peace on earth and goodwill amongst men. Simon was a great debater. He did like to argue, and so do I. And when it came to dealing with the logistic minds of educated Jews and the intellectual grumblings of the Greeks, the task was always assigned to Simon. He was a rebel by nature, an iconoclast by training, but Jesus wanted him for the higher concepts of the kingdom of heaven. He had always identified himself with the party of protest, but now joined the party of progress. Unlimited and eternal progress of spirit and truth. Simon was a man of intense loyalty and warm personal devotion and did profoundly love Jesus. And that's why Jesus picked his apostles, because he saw what was in their hearts.
You know, I often thought that we should look at the apostles from a theories of personality study.
That's good.
Absolutely.
They're all different, absolutely. All different personalities, all different works
all
of life.
All calmed together.
Yeah.
Jesus had many talks with Simon. But he never fully succeeded in making an internationalist out of this ardent Jewish nationalist. Jesus often told Simon that it was proper to want to see social, economic, and political orders improved. But he always added that this is not the business of the kingdom of heaven. We must be dedicated to doing the Father's will. Our business is to be ambassadors, fishers of men, of spiritual government of high, and we must not immediately concern ourselves with what's going on in the world today.
Isn't Simon very much like Peter, a firebrand?
Absolutely.
Just like Peter, a firebrand. Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely. Yes, it certainly is. But Jesus selected him. They were special. He knew what was going on when he selected them.
Why did he select all of us in this room? Why did he select Trevor?
He has a certain job for each and every one of us. But we need to accept that job, we need to recognize it, and we need to say, yes, we will join your army.
And that's what Scripture is all about. Yes. It's timeless.
Absolutely. And it was all difficult for Simon to comprehend all the stuff that Jesus was telling them. But gradually he began to grasp something of the meaning of the Master's teaching. Simon the Zealot, like all other apostles, believed in the Gospels. And that God is love and will give us eternal life, like tomorrow's Gospels, Lazarus. This mastery of life is reflected in all of today's readings, John's Gospels. Tomorrow, Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead and demanded that he come out of the burial tomb. So maybe I can envision Lazarus coming out all wrapped up in cloths and just walking slowly, step by step.
Now, Tony, I have a woman in practice who viewed herself as all wrapped up in bandages, and her freedom came in therapy from getting free of one bandage
and another. This was truly a miracle. But these miracles were part of Jesus' ministry.
Yes.
They followed him. They loved him. The miracles were spreading all over the area. And by the way, there's going to be a special song that John is going to play Easter weekend. About the miracles. Yeah. And I love that song. The more we get to know and love Jesus, the closer we come to him, the more confidence we have in eternal life. and that confidence will guide us through our dying days. And so that's the simple story of Meet the Apostles.
But you know, I'm not a scripture person, in case you didn't know. When I first came into the Charismatic Renewal, and they had all these beautiful songs, I would sing the songs. I said, "Oh, that's wonderful. Those words are great." And I found out they were from the Psalms.
They are, yes.
I didn't know, and they were, but scripture. John Michael Talbot stole all of his words from the Psalms. He's got some nerve.
You know, but I don't understand why you're saying that, because you got me playing Bible roulette. when I have to get a decision, someone angered me so much this week, I didn't know how to handle it. I played Bible roulette, and what I got was, forget it. Forgive and forget it. And that's what I got. I just turned to the page.
I was feeling very low. You talk about Bible roulette, but I didn't get it in Bible roulette. I have like a spirit. I hear words inside. And I was really feeling real down. Oh, Lord. Where are you? You got to help me. I can't stand this. And you know what I heard?
What was that?
Suck it up.
You know, he has a special relationship with you.
Suck it up. Get going, buddy. And another time when I was really upset, pick up your mat and walk. I said, but I can't. It's too heavy. He said, I'll carry it with you.
Isn't that typical Jesus?
Yeah.
That he'll carry your burdens for you and with you.
And you know, the real weird thing about this show, we're Catholics, and we're talking about scripture, and we're talking about, stop laughing, Trevor, and we're talking about personal, interpersonal relationship with Jesus. You know, you don't have any of that, do you, Trevor? None of that, right?
Yeah. But John, you know, you scared me in a minute. I thought you were going to say the real weird thing about this show is Anthony and myself. That's what I thought you were going to say.
But I don't know what you mean.
Well, like the real weird things of the show.
Oh, the weird.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I would say so. But how about you guys? You're Catholic. You know, let me ask you a question. Being Catholic, what does the Eucharist mean to you? What is the Eucharist to you?
The Eucharist is my life. I can't live without the Eucharist. I can't live without it.
Why not? How?
That's where I receive the body and blood of Jesus, and I become more like Jesus, and that's my whole life, to become more like him, to be transformed of all my wounds, my character defects, like these apostles, the impulsiveness, or maybe the negativity, or perhaps the anger towards someone, the unforgiveness towards someone. And when I receive that sacrament, and the sacrament of reconciliation especially too, that I have to look at myself and what I'm doing to not be like Jesus, when I receive that sacrament, I know beyond a doubt, even though I might not feel it at times, it's a knowing that I am being transformed cell by cell, spiritually, emotionally, and physically by Jesus.
That's beautiful, Kat. Very beautiful.
Well, I think for me, the Eucharist complements my prayer life because it completes me. In my prayer life, that's the opportunity I have to sit with the Lord and be in His presence and just let Him love me. Just be in His presence and letting Him love me and feeling that presence deep inside. So when I go to receive the Eucharist, that just completes me. And it's just that's it. You know, it's a complete package. The prayer, but to me, the prayer is foundational. Without that relationship with Him, without that personal touch from Him in prayer, the Eucharist doesn't have the same effect. If a person is not really in touch with Him, it's not that it doesn't, but it just enhances it so much more when they have a deep prayer life.
When you said you complete me, you reminded me of the movie Jerry Maguire. Mm-hmm. You know, at the one point where he's describing, or she did, I guess, you complete me, or whatever it was. And I just love that kind of relationship. When I receive the Eucharist, that's the only time I feel whole. The only time I feel complete. How about you, Tom?
I think the Eucharist is the center of my life, to be honest, and the center of our religion. And it's a gift. It's a gift from Jesus. He gave us that gift. He gave us His body and His blood. He gave His life up for us. And He's saying, here's my body, here's my blood. and so consoling to know when we receive the Eucharist that Jesus is within us.
And maybe that's why we're here in the show. We're calling Catholics back to the sacrament of reconciliation and to receiving the true presence of Jesus within them so that they can join the club again and they can complete them. Jim, you want to say?
Well, I was going to say, but without a personal relationship with the Lord, I remember growing up as a kid, I was never really trained about or taught about that. The Eucharist did not have the same effect on me now that I have a personal relationship with it. It's just much more intimate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's so important to have that relationship.
Yeah, I'd like to say something. One of the reasons I started Living Waters, and ACT has been a big piece for me with that, the Association of Christian Therapists, because it was a place where my love for the Lord could grow, the personal relationship with the Lord, as Jim is talking about. But when I was working not in a spiritual setting, but in the world setting, what I came to discover as a therapist, because I used to teach before this, was that people were really telling me confession. That's what they were doing. And, you know, I know the 12 steps, the fourth step, you take a personal inventory. But in therapy, they were giving me confession. I did not have the ability to forgive them, you know. So what I would have is a cadre of priests that I would take each person to receive that sacrament of reconciliation. And I think one of the things about Living Waters and also at the ACT conferences, there's always reconciliation there. There's always reconciliation. There's always a place to adore the Blessed Sacrament at the ACT conferences also. But what would happen is, even though the person in their formative years, and many people in their formative years, really did not receive the essence of what it means to be Catholic. And I don't know if I did either. I don't think so. But as they go on, what happens is the Lord speaks to them through these different sacraments. And people have come back, the people that receive the absolution, just as you said, John, one by one, a lot of those bandages, they were raised from the dead, from the spiritual deadness of their lives.
I want to tell you a story about adoration, because you people know that I love going there. My wife wanted to go to Florida to a wedding. And I don't want to go to Florida to a wedding. It's going to break up my routine. Besides, I won't be able to get to adoration in the morning, and it's going to throw me all. I don't want to go. But like a good husband, I got the last word in the argument. You know what those words are?
Go. You're going.
Yes, dear. So I went off to Florida, and I got to the hotel. And the next morning, I get up. I said, Rose, I got to go out. I got to find church. I want to go to Mass. So I get over to Mass, and it was just emptying out. And, I miss my pablum, whatever, you know? And so I went into the gift shop, and I said to the woman, it's a shame you don't have adoration here. And she said, oh, but we do. It's 24 hours. And she took me into this room with a great peak glass in front of the host and the cup. And I sat down, and you know what I heard inside of me? Surprise.
Certainly was.
That's God. Yeah. You know, I want to play a song because it kind of sums up what we've been talking. It's called Only in God Is Our Soul at Rest. John Michael Talbot. For those of you who are listening, get quiet, because we're going to go into healing right after this. If you know the words, sing along.
Only in God is my soul at rest.
In Him comes my salvation.
My strong, my Savior.
listeners, in case you don't get the idea, this is a one-hour commercial for Jesus, one way or the other, and it's coming at you from a lot of sources. Even our Baptist minister behind the window on the other side keeps on listening to the show and tells us after he's going to become another Baptist minister.
John, that was beautiful.
By the way,
did you ever take those singing lessons?
No, I never did. Never did. You don't realize this, but we had Sister Joan Kellenberg here, and we were talking about me taking singing lessons, and she said, "Forget the singing lessons, learn how to dance." I love that line. We also, just for you, Jim and Carol, for you to know, and for our listeners, we always have a segment on the show where we talk about healing. And we bring a healer to your attention. Today we're going to bring Father Robert DeGrandis to your attention. Father DeGrandis was a member of ACT and would go around with a healing ministry. And he had a ministry in a black Catholic church. And he always wondered, why does there have to be a black church and a white church? Didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So somehow or other, he got led into praying for healing with his community, a little prayer group. And it turned out that everybody in the prayer group got a healing of some sort. And there were some miraculous ones. And the other side of town, the white folks heard about it. And before long, he had a multicolored community. Because, you know, he said, God doesn't divide by color, by any means, even by different religions, he doesn't divide. He wants us all to be one in love. And that was his ministry. And he would go around and heal people. I would be with him a couple of times, honored to be with him. He'd stand in front of the audience, and he had the word of knowledge. There's somebody in the right side of this church right now who has pain in the back, and the pain is going. And would you please raise your hand? And somebody would raise their hand. And they're all over the place. And he would bring people up front who were on crutches and pray over them, and they throw the crutches away and be healed. I mean, what an unbelievable gift he had. I have a little bit from it, my wife's book, about his healing. And let me just talk about a couple that are here. Father relates the story of 5-year-old Mary Peisner of Pleasant Hill, California, who was knocked 25 feet when hit by a car. Her mother, Betty, rushed outside to find her daughter in a coma. I leaned over her unconscious body and whispered in her ear, "Mary, did you give your hurt to Jesus?" She opened her eyes and looked at me. "Yes, Mom, I did." And she lapsed back into a coma. The doctor said she had broken ribs and a ruptured spleen. There would be 3 hours of surgery and she might die. That's when the miracle happened. A short while after reaching the hospital, Mary came out of her coma. Father had prayed over. Subsequent x-ray showed that the spleen had been miraculously welded together, as were her ribs. And I was surprised, and the doctors were flabbergasted. Father also has a forgiveness prayer. I don't have the time to read the whole prayer, but maybe I do. Trevor, why don't you play the music that we would normally have behind the healing, because Father believed that the best way to heal was to pray the prayer of forgiveness. So we're going to pray this now for everybody who sent petitions and see if they'll be healed of whatever it is that's in the way of that healing. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask today to forgive everyone in my life. I know that you'll give me the strength to forgive, and I thank you that you love me more than I love myself and want my happiness more than I desire it for myself. Father,
I forgive you for the times death has come into the family, hard times, financial difficulties, or what I thought were punishments sent by you, and people said, it's God's will. And I become bitter and resentful toward you. Purify my heart and mind today. Lord, I forgive myself for my sins, faults, and failings, for all that is bad in myself, or that I think is bad. I forgive myself and I accept your forgiveness. I further forgive myself for taking your name in vain, not worshiping you by attending church, for hurting my parents, getting drunk, for sins against purity, bad books, bad movies, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, also for abortion, stealing, lying, defrauding, hurting people's reputations. You've forgiven me today, and I forgive myself. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of this moment. I also forgive myself for any delvings into superstition, using Ouija boards, horoscopes, going to seances, using fortune telling, or wearing lucky charms. I reject all that superstition and choose you alone as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I truly forgive my mother. I forgive her for all the times she hurt me, she resented me, she was angry with me, and for all the times she punished me. I can forgive her for the times she preferred my brothers and sisters to me. I forgive her for the time she told me I was dumb, ugly, stupid, the worst of all children, or that I cost the family a lot of money, for the time she told me I was unwanted, an accident, a mistake, or not what she expected. I forgive her. Lord, I truly forgive my father. I forgive him for any non-support, any lack of love, affection, or attention. I forgive him for any lack of time for not giving me his companionship, for drinking, arguing, and fighting with my mother or other children, for her severe punishments, for desertion, for being away from home, for divorcing my mother, or for any running around. I do forgive him. Lord, I extend my forgiveness to my sisters and brothers. I forgive those who rejected me, lied about me, hated me, resented me, competed for my parents' love, those who hurt me, who physically harmed me, for those who were too severe on me, punished me, made my life unpleasant in any way. I do forgive them. Lord, I forgive my spouse for lack of love, for affection, consideration, support, attention, communication, for faults, failings, weaknesses, for those other acts or words that hurt or disturb me. Jesus, I forgive my children for their lack of respect, obedience, love, attention, support, warmth, understanding, for the bad habits, falling away from the church, and bad actions which disturb me. Lord God, I forgive my in-laws, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, son, daughter-in-law, and other relatives by marriage who treat my family with a lack of love for all their words, thoughts, actions, or omissions which injure and cause pain. Trevor, can you play that again? I forgive them. Please help to forgive my relatives. My grandmas, father, aunts, uncles, cousins, who may have interfered in our family, been possessive of my parents, who may have caused confusion or turned one parent against the other. Jesus, help me to forgive my co-workers who are disagreeable, make life miserable for me. For those who push the work off on me, gossip about me, won't cooperate with me, try to take my job, I do forgive them. My neighbors need to be forgiven, Lord, for all their noise, letting their property run down, not tying up their dogs who run from my yard, not taking in their trash barrels, being prejudiced, and running down the neighborhood. I do forgive them. I do forgive my clergymen, my congregation, and my church for their lack of support, affirmation, bad sermons, etc. Lord, I forgive all who have hurt me. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being here right now, for touching the petitions that we have on this table. We've had healings associated. Tell me what it is.
And we thank you so much, Jesus, for your healings. And we received confirmation this week, John and I, that 4-year-old girl, Victoria, was cured of her cancer. and the chances of it coming back are very null. And so we give you praise and glory and thank you. We received confirmation of someone that was depressed and that he was lifted up above being depressed. And we give you thank you and joy and glory. And we pray for new petitions. We pray for the two people that have been diagnosed with cancer.
Teresa and Loretta.
Yes. And we pray for all those petitions that we have here. We know you're going to lift them up. We know you're going to watch them. We know you're going to be with them. And they know that you will too. So we thank you so much.
And we shout to the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
And we're off the air almost. Sorry we went on a little long. But hey, that's the way it goes. If we want more time, we should buy 2 hours.
Send your petitions.
No, go ahead.
No, okay. Send your petitions to listen up, 1240@AOL.com. And guess what? We're renewing our contract for another 3 months, John.
They must be crazy. See you next week.